And we're live on Facebook, Augusta Free Press. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chris Graham. I've got Rod Mullins with me. And we're going to talk NASCAR news. I wrote a story on the Augusta Free Press site yesterday after the several published reports elsewhere indicating that NASCAR may be getting back on the actual track here pretty soon. And Rod, you have the latest. And what is the latest on NASCAR and a possible return coming up in a few weeks?
Well, it's a lot of speculation right now, as far as we know, but there is supposed to be some sort of word at least put into place by tomorrow. They were hoping it might be into place by the time we got on with the podcast, but we're probably looking at Thursday, maybe Friday is what's going to be going on. There's been this, guessing speculation is what was going to be taking place if the approval was given by some of the state governors of, you know, opening this back up. And already North Carolina has been, Roy Cooper's been talking with NASCAR execs in Charlottesville or in Charlotte, trying to find out, you know, what's the timetable? What can we do to get this thing going again? Because obviously it's become a burden so much on the sport right now of this, not having these races, although iRacing's doing pretty well for the sport, but they're wanting to get back to some actual racing. And right now, I'm looking at an article in here that was actually put out by a gentleman with Auto Week magazine. And Auto Week has the statement Matt Weaver put out in a tweet that came out today, as a matter of fact. NASCAR is going to make official today, is what they're saying, its return in May for several of the divisions. The way it's looking right now, racing will resume on Sunday, May 17th, a cup race at Darlington. Then on Tuesday, May 19th, the Xfinity Series will run at Darlington. On Saturday, May 23rd, the ARCA Series will run at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And then the Cup Series will run on Sunday, May 24th. No mention of any All-Star race whatsoever at this point. And then on Monday, May the 25th, the Xfinity Series will race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. The trucks will race on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, May 27th, the Cup Series will be back at Charlotte for a little bit of a shortened race is what it's going to be. No other kind of information is coming out right now. That opens the door up for June 3rd for Bristol. That's what a lot of people are talking right now about Bristol with June 3rd. And Jerry Caldwell released in a statement through a friend of mine, Alan Gregory, with the Bristol newspaper, that he hasn't released an official schedule, or NASCAR hasn't released an official schedule with dates and details yet. But once it's shared and the information's put out there, they're going to go and they're going to make it known to everyone. So it looks like we're going to resume with some racing. Much of what we discussed a little bit earlier in one of the podcasts, we were talking about having maybe a race on a Sunday and coming back with a Tuesday or Wednesday kind of scenario. It won't be the Cup Series, but it may be the trucks and it may be the Xfinity Series. So we'll just have to wait and see when the official announcement is made.
I have to ask a quick, just geographical question about Bristol. Which state is the Bristol Raceway located in? Virginia, Tennessee?
Tennessee is where it's located at. So okay, that's good news. Really down that's, Sullivan County, yeah.
That's good news because Tennessee, I know, is moving forward a little quicker than Virginia is. Even though the governor, the last couple of days, today and then and back on Monday, indicating that, as of a week or two ago, Governor Ralph Northam in Virginia had been sticking to the line that he would not open the state up sort of region by region. And of course, here right. In Virginia, like in a lot of states with big urban areas, the big urban areas are seeing more COVID cases than the rural areas. Really, if you go south and west of Charlottesville, that includes where I am in Augusta County, certainly includes where you are down towards Bristol, a lot less activity. He's now indicating that he is open to opening parts of the state up at different times based on logic, based on common sense. So that's, let me admit something to you, talking about, hey, maybe we'll have a race in Charlotte on the 24th and all this kind of stuff. And I humored you. And in my opinion, I was humoring you, saying, all right, I'm not going to burst Rod's bubble. There's no way they're racing on May 24th. Turns out you were right. You had a good sense of that. The governor in North Carolina has been very open. In fact, last week, declaring NASCAR an essential business. We know a lot of teams are located in the Charlotte area. Not just NASCAR, actually, IndyCar. A lot of IndyCar teams there, too. And some other racing teams are are located in the Charlotte area. So that was the first kind of break open of the floodgates, I guess, if you want to say. The news this week from the governor there, really important. So it feels like things are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, but now we're also going to be looking at a scenario that is not going to be anything close to what we are used to of NASCAR, okay? One, no fans are going to be in the stands at these races the way that they're going. The second thing is there will be a limited pit crew over the wall. There may not even be pit stops in some of these races the way that they're going to put it together. They're going to go and not have live pit stops, so to speak. The next thing that's really kind of took me by surprise.
Let me stop you there. What does that mean? Okay. So take me through the procedure there. No pit stops? How is that going to work from a racing standpoint? How do you get enough fuel, tires, et cetera?
It will be one of those things of where, when I say a live pit stop, you're going like through the course of the race. They may just take scheduled pit stops, sort of like they used to do when they would test the tires out, or they would see how a certain package is doing on one of these tracks and testing it for the first time. They're going to be using some of these chassis setups for 550 horsepower and the downforce on some of these cars at some of these tracks. And so some of it's going to be testing time is what it's going to be. Now at the Coke 600, I can guarantee there's going to be pits, and pit stops. But the thing about it is NASCAR is going to have to be able to limit the number of people that go across the wall, have contact even with the driver, or have contact with one another while they're there in the pits. Even though they're going to be screened, all of this other stuff, they want to limit the number of pit teams and pit people across the wall there in the pits. That's all they're saying right now at this point. I'm kind of left scratching my head about it too.
Here's why I'm really scratching my head. Those guys and gals, I'm sure there's some women who are involved in this, they're in fire suits. It's not like they're standing there, at a grocery store with no mask on. I mean, they're covered head to toe. So that is interesting. That's really odd to think that's got to be a concern. It's probably more for appearance sake than it is for actual safety.
Yeah. Well, and here's the next thing. I've been told from late last night, that there is going to be a limited media presence. So, you and I kind of talked about this thing of us going and let's get the ball rolling and see what we can do about Charlotte and everything. Turns out we may get into Charlotte and get there with our application, but we may not be asked to come because of the fact of limiting the number of media people that's going to be there and interacting with one another. You're in close quarters when you're in a media center.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I fully anticipate that. Yeah. Because press boxes are very tight spaces. And honestly, at this stage, if getting racing going means we have to cover it from the home base, just give us something to write about, whether we're physically
exactly
there or
right.
not. Just give us something to write about, right? So May 17th, I think I saw Darlington. That's 2 weeks from this weekend. Mm-hmm. May 24th, you mentioned the next date would then be Bristol. I had seen that there was at least a thought all the way into middle to late June. We know that Florida had expressed interest. Texas, of course, but those two states have been more opening in the last few weeks. So now here's a question. Now, 2 weeks. I mean, theoretically, if this happens as we expect it will, that's 2 weeks from this Sunday. Are teams ready to get back out there?
I think a lot of the teams are ready. They're going to have to be some of these teams that are going to be calling some people back that have been quote unquote furloughed and put out for at least a temporary period of time. Some of them are going to be ready. The basics are going to be this. The drivers are going to be itching to get back out on the track. The drivers have already been having the training, some of the best training, I guess you could find anywhere with the iRacing series. Some of these drivers have found out. I'm sure Denny Hamlin is one of those drivers who wants to be back out on the track and hope to goodness his little girl doesn't unplug his chassis set like what she did this past Sunday when he was disqualified out of the Talladega race because she unplugged something on him. But, as for the rest of the drivers, they're anxious. The pit teams, they're anxious too. I think it's the guys right now, how it's going to affect. They've got cars already prepared. They've got them built. It's just a matter of having them set up and having them ready to roll down the road, to take it to Darlington, to bring it back to Charlotte, and then to take it on to Bristol. You know, if they do that and they go to Martinsville, all of these are close proximity. I mean, from Charlotte to Bristol, I think there was one race here a couple of years ago. There was somebody that had lost something. I think the engine went down or something in a car, and they had to go back to Charlotte, get it. It was a 3 or 3.5 hour trip back from Charlotte, and it wasn't that bad. The team met somebody about halfway, and I guess it was probably around Hickory, and then they came on into Bristol, and, you know, they didn't have to worry about it too much. It's everything's in close proximity. It's the one thing that they're really preparing for is going to be right after the Bristol race, the Martinsville race. They're going to have to make that long haul going down to Homestead, and then they'll have to come back to Atlanta. They'll have to race there. But, you know, these guys are anxious. I know that they're probably chomping at the bit. I know that the pit crews are definitely wanting a part of this. But I think the drivers are probably more hungry than anybody else. Throw aside the video game part. Let's get back to the real stuff, except if you're Jeff Gordon, because you won't get caught up in the catch fence like you did at Talladega, though.
You know, because I asked that question because, you know, as we're looking at other sports, Major League Baseball is putting together a plan to maybe get going again mid to late June. That's and the NBA and NHL are apparently feeling their own way through this process. NBA teams are looking at May 8th to get their players back into their practice facilities. Both those sports that are active right now, likely about a month away from getting back into actual games because of the physical part of it. Now, there's a physical part to racing, certainly. Yeah. Driving around a track for 600 miles requires a lot of stamina because of the mental energy expended. You have to have physical stamina as well. I would imagine, though, that racers, I mean, not just the training through these iRaces, but they've had to keep up their fitness so that they can have their mental fitness about them when they get back out there on the track.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson maintains everything either from running or working at his in-home gym. That's what he does. You've got several of the other drivers that do the same thing. They stick to this this whole thing of their meals. They stick to the weight room. They stick to the jogging. They're on as much, you know, high-powered training as some of these football players that are out there. So I think of that. And some of these guys are ready to go with this. I don't think we're going to see somebody that's going to be coming to the track on the first weekend and they race at Darlington that's going to be up 50 or 75 pounds and can't squeeze in through the driver's side on the car. I think they're going to be ready to go. So
what does this mean now? I mean, as we're moving towards possibly 2 weeks, it's looking very likely. I'm going to stop saying possible. It's very likely 2 weeks we're going to be back on the actual track. So what does that mean for the iRacing series that has gotten very popular the last few weeks? Does that necessarily need to ramp back because the teams are now focusing on the track? How do you think that impacts iRacing?
It's going to pull back probably the Sunday racing because they have accommodated the Sunday racing, of course, for Fox and be able to get that and put that out there for most of the fans. But they're going to pull this back to where it'll be more of a in-week sort of thing. They've been racing all sorts of races. iRacing has been all week. I know Ron Capps has been racing World of Outlaws, I believe either in Knoxville or Eldora. It's where he's been racing at some. You've got one of the other drivers. I've mentioned him on the podcast before, Paul Incas. Paul is in Charlotte right now, and he's been driving a number of the bigger tracks in these little smaller driver series to kind of, you know, I guess rate or kind of put you in where you're going to rank at, so to speak, and where you might stand on getting some experience. For Paul, Paul Linkus is wanting, he's waiting for the time to open up at the local Kingsport Speedway that they used to refer to as the Concrete Jungle. And that's just down the road from Bristol Motor Speedway. Kingsport used to have a strong point in NASCAR. Years and years ago, a lot of the drivers would go to Bristol, get ready for the race. They'd race on Friday night or Thursday night at Kingsport Speedway, and then they come back in, race at Bristol on Friday night, and race on Saturday. So that track's going to, you know, at least be ready for him, hopefully, in the next week or two. So it affects not only just the bigger series, but it affects the smaller series as well. I think when they open up the gates to some of these other races, the iRacing will fall off just a little bit, but I think if it's on certain nights that doesn't compete with these, they're going to be okay.
I'm seeing that our digital editor, Crystal Graham, who we're both very familiar with, is actually trying to engage our viewers with some questions. And I think I want to pose one of these just for us to discuss. One of her questions is, as a fan, will the experience be the same even without the fans in the stands? And I'll say this, here's my thought on that, and I'll throw it to you then, Rod. You know, from the standpoint of all the sports that are played, certainly, I mean, obviously NASCAR is a great sport to go watch in person, and we know that. You can feel the thunder under your feet. You can feel it in your belly when you're there at the track. But from the standpoint of the impact, so from that standpoint, maybe that's part of the question. The other side of it, though, the racers certainly, man, the noise when they're in the car and they're going around the track, they don't know what is out there in terms of noise. They're focused on what they're doing. Now, other sports, it's different. When you're in a basketball arena, football stadium, baseball stadium, the players can feel that noise. They can hear that noise, and it can have an impact on the game. I'm not sure that not having fans in the stands has any impact on the actual races. Maybe, and I'm not sure if you're watching on TV, it has an impact on you as a viewer. You know, yeah, it'll stink for a while that we're not able to go to the track as fans, and you and I as writers to be able to go. But so I want to throw that out to you. What are your thoughts on what it'll be like when we're watching actual competitive NASCAR races? There's just no fans in the stands.
The atmosphere is going to be very quiet. I mean, of course, when I'm out in the infield at Bristol and I'm kind of standing there watching the action of the race, I'm not, you know, looking at the situation of who's in the stands and, you know, what's going on. They are a great barometer. Let's put it this way. The fans are a great barometer when something is going on out on the track. And usually where I'm at, sometimes between 3 and 4 there at Bristol, I will at least get some kind of noise or sound somewhere behind me of someone that is maybe spun or something on, you know, coming out of turn 2, going down the backstretch, or gets into trouble coming into 3. Then I'm prepared a little bit better for, you know, what's coming. You know, it's going to teach me probably when I go to Bristol, I'm going to have a keener eye on some of these things and pay attention and watch the action a little bit more, instead of just getting wrapped up in all the sound and everything that's out there. It's going to be different. It's really going to be different. As for the other thing, I'll just say this. The pomp and circumstance, and I know a lot of people make a big deal about it. A lot of people have asked me, why in the world do they still have prayer on TV at a NASCAR race? Why do they still have all these different things? It's in the charter. It's in this thing of, you will, as a Fox affiliate, as Fox Sports, you will carry the prayer. You will carry the national anthem. There is no ifs, no ands, no buts. That goes all the way through, even into the NBC contract. It's going to be different. If you go to a Charlotte, you're not going to see, I don't think, as big or huge of a military presence like we've normally seen during the 600 on Memorial Day weekend, because they bring all of these soldiers in. And as a matter of fact, there's one family that's close to me right now. They were in the situation, they were supposed to get invited to be in Joey Logano's pits as a part of Memorial Day. They're a part of this program of where they take the spouses, or if the spouse is still surviving and they take the kids, they take them to Disney World. Gary Sinise puts on a big deal there at Disney World in Florida for them. And I know that one of the families here locally where I live had inquired, and Joey Logano's camp had reached out to them to have them there at Charlotte for the 600 race. Now, that I don't know where that's going to stand at right now at this point. They may still have them there, but if they're going to limit people in the pits, that's going to cause some problems. I don't think we're going to see as much of that pomp and circumstance as we've usually had.
I'll say this now, taking this to another level of discussion. I think that the fact that NASCAR is getting back with actual races, actual competitive sports, this relatively early at this stage. The last time the guys were on the track was March 13th, and they were pulled off as they were getting ready for Atlanta that weekend. You know, it's going to be a big deal. There will be in my opinion, there will be lots of fans tuning in, and the viewers will be tuning in. People who aren't NASCAR fans necessarily, but sports fans who are just starved for something that's competitive and live that they don't know the result of. That May 17th race may be among the higher rated, most watched NASCAR races you'll ever see, just because of where we are right now.
Well, you know, this may be the spark again. You know, I've talked about it before. The big fight at the Daytona 500, you know, years ago when Donnie Allison and Bobby Allison and Cale Yarborough got into it there, and the big scuffle there in four as they all wrecked. The East Coast was snowed in that weekend. Nobody else. There was no sporting event that was on television except for the Daytona 500. And then you have Ken Squire. You have all these guys, and they're calling this race. And then a fight breaks out at turn three. That made for more spectacle than who actually won the race in that particular Daytona 500. We were more concerned about who is going to knock Donnie Allison's head off, who is going to go and put Cale Yarborough in his place. And that really started the spark for NASCAR as we know it. And now we've kind of gone through this lull. A lot of people will still say Dale Earnhardt, something left the sport when Dale Earnhardt passed away in 2001. You know, and I agree with that. This could be the spark that kind of gets NASCAR back on its footing again as a pertinent player, I think, in the world of motorsports.
So exciting. We have a lot to kind of get into. I'm sure the next time we talk, Rod, next week, we'll have even more details on not only the races coming up, but future scheduling as well. So as we wrap up here, Ron, anything else? I mean, you know, you had a notebook full of stuff. Hopefully we covered most of it. Anything else out there news-wise that we need to be aware of?
Well, just a couple of quick things. If you're not aware of it, Alec Bowman won the race this past weekend, the iRacing Series race, beat out Corey LaJoy at Talladega. And I made reference to Jeff Gordon in the catch fence. He ran the race and lost it there and went into the catch fence. And as a lot of people said, hey, look, you know, thankfully it was just a video game. If that had been real life, it could have been very serious. I think with that happening, we got the news over the weekend. Ryan Newman has been cleared to come back to NASCAR racing. Roush Fenway made that announcement. That announcement came on Sunday afternoon just prior to the race. A little bit more has been filled in since then. And then we got the big news right before, I guess it was probably about Monday, it was dropped in our lap. Chip Ganassi has lured Matt Kenseth out of retirement, and he's going to drive the number 42 car in place of Kyle Larson for the rest of the season. Now, whether that's going to be a permanent fixture, we don't know, but Kurt Busch was very praiseworthy of this note, putting Matt Kenseth, the former teammate of his, into the other car. And so I believe those two are going to work together really well. And speaking of which, Kenseth and also Newman, both of those drivers, I think it was announced yesterday, NASCAR is going to waive anything, any kind of predicaments or anything else that they were in prior to the season restarting, and they are going to be in contention. Kenseth can race for a championship if he wants to. The same thing for Ryan Newman. They're not going to hold that over Newman's head where he missed those races because of that wreck. So there's a lot of big news that's happened in the last few days, and we're going to probably get some more news here before it's over with. And when we do get it, if I get it on the wire, quick thing, I'm just going to send it on to you guys and y'all can put it up on the Facebook page, or we'll cover it from there.
Yes, indeed. And we'll have some more as well on the website too. I've even got Scott German. Scott German, my, Rod and Scott know each other pretty well. We don't ever do podcasts together, but even Scott's saying to me right now, he's going to learn more NASCAR because there's an actual sport going on now. So we're definitely ramping up our coverage. I think Scott, as soon as they give us the go ahead to, you know, get up and actually go cover races, Scott wants to go cover races with us now. So yeah, this is great news. This is great news. And thanks, Rod, for helping us walk through all this. We really appreciate your time on this.
Well, one thing I want to ask you before we go, I did not catch what you and Scott were talking about the other day with the UVA logo changes, and I'm a big UVA fan. I just want to know, what is the situation on this? Because I've been reading social media, and I mean, it's filled my phone full with things about people that hate the logo and everything. And somebody said, even to the point, oh, have you noticed the orange tint in the V? It looks like something from Virginia Tech. And I'm like, please, let's not be that insulting towards something like that. What's your call on this?
Not a good move on the part of the university, and we talked, Scott and I talked about that, I guess, a lot. The problem that a lot of us have is that it doesn't seem like a lot of input was sought from outside of maybe a small group of people. And, you know, it does feel like just something that was rushed through, even though we're told it was an 18-month process. You know, I bet if they had run this by more people, maybe a wider group of people, they could have gone back to their drawing board. And unfortunately, they haven't. And, you know, Scott made a great point, though. His point was, you know, the news release that was sent out about this even said, go to Mincer's. I mean, a friend of ours, Mincer's, and other places to go buy your new memorabilia. Scott's recommendation was for us to just all protest in mass by buying more old stuff. And the current stuff's now old stuff, right? So if we don't buy any new crap and we buy all kinds of old stuff, that'll tell them right there that we don't like that new logo scheme. And maybe voting with our dollars will overturn that decision.
I will say this. I thought that the V and the Cross Sabers needed just a little bit of some toning to it. I'm not going to deny that whatsoever, but I'm still finding it hard to accept a Cavalier with his head down, holding up two swords. I just, that doesn't sit right with me. I don't know why. It looks like a blob with a little bit of orange paint down there. And I was just surprised by that. It's something from doing some graphic design. It was like, kind of like, don't you want to tell everybody that you're a Cavalier and not somebody that's got your head down all the time about stuff? Yeah, we've seen enough of those in little memes on Facebook and everything about, you know, laying down there at the end of the game when we were losing to Virginia Tech. But I mean, still, you know, these are things that people catch on to. But, you know, same with racing. I mean, somebody goes and they put a really horrible car out there and a paint job. First things that the fans are going to either go crazy about it or they're going to eat it up. And, you know, if it's something that stars and stripes, red, white, and blue, like Dale Earnhardt's car was at the Winston here several years ago, one of the most beautiful cars, especially that Mylar, the reflective paint job that they had on that car. It was awesome. And then one little thing I'll never forget of Michael Waltrip adding on the chrome rims onto his car the year that he was racing still in the race team, Michael Waltrip Racing. He put chrome wheels on, and it was the most beautiful thing you'd ever see out on the track. Instead of just seeing black rims with the tires on it, you saw chrome rims, and it was beautiful. But, you know, some people are like, no, you know, let's be purists about it, and let's not put yellow rims on a car. Let's not do this. So everybody's a little bit mixed about things, I guess.
Well, on the UVA logo, though, it's been a while since I've gone to the social media to see the opinions. I think maybe it was 36 hours after we first wrote a story about it, I went to look at the Virginia Athletics Twitter account. I probably scrolled through 200 or 300 comments. I saw one positive comment. So it's one thing to be mixed. That's like a election in a communist country kind of unanimity. So that was interesting. No, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, it's worth revisiting. And so that's my recommendation for you, Rod, for me, for other UVA fans watching this show. Just go to Mincer's and buy the good stuff. Don't buy the new stuff. And maybe they'll get rid of that crouching Cavalier.
Now go by and see Mark Mincer. Mark will take care of you. We've endorsed it. So go. If you're in Charlottesville, go buy the stuff. So.
Yeah, you can go to the JerryRatcliffe.com website. Jerry's a good friend of ours. He's got the link right up there in the right corner, and click on it. They'll deliver it to you. And I'm going to go on there pretty soon and buy. I really like the old school look. I know the Saber look is great. I just want the V on a navy blue hat. I'll give myself a couple of those. That'll be my vote. I'm voting for the old stuff, way back in the day stuff. That's me.
Well, I'm going to have to order too now that you mentioned it. So I know they had a big sale on here, probably a few days ago. They'd put it up on an email. And so I think I'm going to have to take advantage of it.
I got some confetti back here. You can buy your 2019 national championship gear. It's still valid. It still works. They're still the champion. So it's enjoy it for another year anyway. Hey, Rod, thank you for your time on this. Hey, we'll talk to you again
next
week.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.